Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. James and Jane Beckett have lived in 10 states plus Japan. They're getting ready for their 70th anniversary. They are vibrant today for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he moves graciously through them to touch others. And today, dear friend, even as we spend our time together with you, we believe the Lord has sent James and Jane to share about the love of Christ, the love of Jesus, the fact that Jesus loves you so much, my friend, that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the risen Christ today calls you to himself. Regardless what situation you might be facing, no matter how difficult things might be, and oh, we know, and they know, the challenges of life. But Christ can lift you up through those challenges. And not only will you prevail, but you will move into a level of life in Jesus to be an overcomer. Victorious indeed. James graduated from Newark Academy and entered Cornell in the V12 program. They raised their family, and today they're involved in business and prison ministries. James and Jane, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Aloha.
I'm so grateful that you're with us, and as we start, where did you grow up, Jane?
I grew up in a small town in Virginia called Hopewell. Had about 12,000 people in it, I think. It was kind of a World War I, wonder town. It just sprung up overnight.
What was it like growing up there? What do you remember?
Well, it was a very Southern way of being brought up. Family was very important. Your reputation and upholding it within a small community where everybody knew everybody. There was segregation. I never went to school with anyone of a different color than me. There was racism. There were manners that were probably more important because it was for appearances rather than to present Jesus to anybody. It was just look good for the world. I had good parents. They cared a lot for us, but they didn't go to church, but made sure we went. So that's kind of my background.
And James, how about you? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Evanston, Illinois. My folks were quite well off. We lived in an apartment because he thought he was going to be transferred to New York any year, which didn't happen for many years. When I was six, I contacted polio, and with their responsiveness and wonderful doctors, I got admitted to Evanston Hospital, and I got out of there in a few days, and I had some paralysis, but it wore away, but there was a sequel to that, which I'll share later. When we went to Florida for the winters, the doctor said, this boy needs some sunshine in the winter, so we went down there, and I had an encounter with my grandma, Emma, which I'd like to share later, but we were big in sports, and I had a brother. We played every kind of sport with each other, and I went to It was an all-white community. I met one black boy, John McKinney, in seventh grade. Really nice guy, but I didn't see another black kid in the whole town. It was closed down on Sunday. Really kind of an old-fashioned place. My folks had two cars, and all our neighbors, they had garages, but there were no cars in them. It was a depression, and we were the only one with two cars, maybe the only ones with one. So we had a kind of a sheltered life, and that was when I was 14, my dad did get transferred to York, and I went to the East and spent a couple of years at Newark Academy and went on to Cornell.
Did you experience any kind of course, you were a child, but were there any conflicts, internal conflicts, seeing that you were well off in the midst of the Depression?
I think so. I mean, you weren't going to go share at Christmas time. You know, we're getting a Waltham watch, my brother and I, for $35, which was a lot of money in those days, and other kids were getting a lot fewer presents and a lot less expensive. So it was not the joyous Christmas that it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Who influenced you most, James, in your growing up years?
Well, I think from a temporal standpoint, my mom and dad for sure, but from an eternal standpoint, it was my grandma Emma, which I want to share that later with you.
Why don't you go ahead and share some of that now?
All right. Well, anyway, when my mom was in Fort Lauderdale, she invited her mother to come and spend 2 weeks with us, and we'd never met her, and she came down, and she was kind of like a Whistler's mother in appearance, and had a rocking chair for her in the living room and plopped herself in the middle of the floor with her black blousy dress on and had her German Bible and a magnifying glass. And she sat there for 2 weeks, never got to the ocean, praying the entire time. And I'm convinced that her prayers were the reason that Jane and I met. There were eight circumstances that I've listed where I had options to go one way or another, and each time these options were just kind of robotic on my part. I certainly wasn't praying through any of these eight experiences. And the fact that we would meet together was we were 21 years of age when we met, was too many coincidences to be anything but the hand of God, and behind that had to be Grandma Emma.
Hmm. Jane, how about you?
Well, I just want to add that his grandmother did not speak any English. She only spoke German, so he had no real, way to communicate with her.
Did she come from Germany? Was she living in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you hadn't met? Go ahead, Jane.
Jim?
Well, I'm just going to say, at this point, we can look back and as Christians and see there's the natural world and there's a supernatural world, and we forget that the people like that, angel of the Lord, come into our life and then dance out again, and the impact of it doesn't hit you until you're a lot older. It finally hit me when I was doing my memoirs that there had to be some reason why all these coincidences were driving me toward an encounter with Jane Crump.
Did you see her again, Jim? And how long was it after that?
I don't think I ever saw her again.
So you really saw your grandmother for basically 2 weeks out of your life?
Well, it was 100 hours of prayer going on.
Wow.
She was praying the Bible, and it's powerful.
Yes.
You say praying the Bible. Explain some of that to us.
Well, I mean, it's this technique that people talk about of the Bible talking to you and you're talking back to the Bible, as it were. I mean, she came down there, I think, with a purpose of help Jimmy get through this time, and thinking that I was in a real bad way, which I really wasn't. And so her purpose was ostensibly to facilitate a physical healing, but that had long since passed, and she was doing a spiritual work on me, blessing me in a way that I just can't imagine somebody spending that much time in prayer. And I'm sure she incorporated others in those prayers besides me, my mother, father, my brother, and her own family back in the Queens, New York. So, and I'm just so grateful because Jane has been just the biggest person that ever came into my life, and I still don't understand it.
James and Jane Beckett are with us today, sharing a moment of reflection, really. A reflection of 90 years of life, life with God, life in Christ. And Jim, drawing the correlation between a grandma praying, really praying. I mean, came from Germany to Florida to help facilitate healing through prayer. And of course, he looks back and he sees the connection between many things that happened in his life. My friend, today, as we prepare for our break, where are you today? Are there certain things that are taking place around you or even within you that may be attributed to a grandmother or grandfather's prayers, or perhaps an aunt or an uncle or a friend? Maybe you don't even know who they are, but the Lord has placed you on someone's heart and they pray for you. They intercede for you. Make no mistake about it. The Lord is at work. He hears, he answers prayers. Perhaps today the Lord is placing someone on your heart to pray for. It's one of those things where you can't deny it. The Lord keeps bringing them back. When we come back, we'll talk more about prayer, faith in Christ, life. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arenaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling.
You're listening. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you never really know where things are going to lead when you pray for someone. You can certainly hope in your heart, and you hope in faith, and you pray the Bible. You pray according to the Word of God. You let the Word of God speak to you, and you pray back in response to the Word of God with a burden that the Lord has placed on your heart for someone. And God begins to move. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Our guests today, James and Jane Beckett. Maybe you're tuning in right now, caught the tail end of the last segment. Look, you can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Jane, you attended church, but your parents didn't. Jim, your grandmother came and prayed. How did you both establish a personal relationship with Christ, and when? Jane, can you start?
Well, it's not a pretty story. I believed in church was Sunday morning, and I was faithful about that. I did kind of what my parents did. They took us to church, but they didn't stay. Mm-hmm. And they picked us up after church. And we kind of started doing that with our kids when I think we only had about three at the time, and the oldest one was about five. And so we took them and dropped them off and thought, now we've got Sunday, and isn't this great? No kids around, and we've got an hour or two to just kind of relax. We happened to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where a very famous preacher, Dr. Shoemaker. And Jim kind of snuck out. We had been in Japan, and he kind of snuck out on Sunday mornings on me. I wasn't real happy about it, but he went to hear this guy across town. And I think he'll tell you more about that. It really changed our lives to suddenly realize that Jesus wasn't just in the Bible; he was in life for us. And I didn't know that.
Jim, you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I was in Japan, and I had a day off and went to the library and ran into this article in Fortune magazine called Businessmen on Their Knees. And it was about taking the gospel to work Monday through Friday. And one of the leaders in this was this Dr. Sam Shoemaker in Pittsburgh with a so-called Pittsburgh experiment where the businessmen were enlisting, and it was very successful. So when I got out of the service, I had three choices: to go to Paterson, New Jersey, Baltimore, Maryland, or Pittsburgh, believe it or not. So I chose Pittsburgh, naturally. And while Jane was waiting for me to get things ready in Pittsburgh, I was going to his church, and I attended a Wednesday night meeting called, in his new book, How to Become a Christian. So about the third or fourth session, I was fidgeting in the back row, and he said to me, "Would you stay over for a minute?"
Praise
everybody
the Lord.
Cleared out, and it was just him and me, and I didn't really have a chance. So I timidly accepted Christ, and his first instruction to me was, you don't belong here, you belong in your neighborhood church. And I know the pastor, he's a great guy, and they have a small group in their home. So that's when we joined the church, and we were in this small couples prayer group, which we have been in for many, many years, and I think they're good. We had some good meetings. We had some, flat ones, but that's kind of how it got started.
And Jane, how did James's conversion impact you?
Well, I wondered if it was going to last, probably, because he could get enthusiastic about things and then it sort of would go away. But this didn't go away, and he got me involved, and we met some of the most fantastic people, everyday people who were different. They really live by a different band. They live for Christ, and when you hear their stories and you're with them every week, it made a difference in the way we looked at religion. It's kind of a slow process for us, or for me, to really say I'm committing my life, you know. And I didn't understand what the Holy Spirit was. I just thought God and Jesus. But boy, do I know what the Holy Spirit does now. So,
share a little bit of what you learned and what you experienced in the working, the powerful working of the Holy Spirit.
Well, when I had an eye accident. I had a bottle explode and it went into my eye, and bounced out the glass. But I went to a doctor. I didn't know what had happened, and he sent me straight to the hospital, and he just pushed my lens back in and sewed it up. The fact is that I had people praying for me. Jim called this group, and they all were praying for me. And when I went back to him, I was in the hospital for 7 days, and then when I went back for a checkup with him, he said, I don't understand that you don't even have any adhesions, you know, on the scar. And he said, I don't get it, you know, and I said, well, I do. It's Jesus, so. That was my first opportunity to witness to something that personally had happened in my life, which was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
experiences of parenting, experiences in business, experiences even in church life. As you look back, James, Jane, young parents today, what kind of advice would you give to them from the collective knowledge and experiences that you have?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
So, well, we've moved from the Episcopalian Church to lots of other denominations. Now we're Baptist without the Baptist name in it. We're called the Village Church, and it's extremely popular. We have 10,000 to 11,000 members, and it's basically a Bible-centered church where the Episcopalian was a liturgy and communion-oriented church and minimal sermons. And I believe that's the way to go. I think as much as I missed some of the drama of the Episcopal Church, this Bible-centered we're a sinner, and nobody can keep the Ten Commandments for even a day, or all the commandments for a day is disturbing, but it's also encouraging because there's a way out, you know, through the blood of the Lamb. So I'm thinking that's the right place to be, and we had a lot of friends in the Episcopal Church, including Suzanne.
Yes.
But I think the Baptist Church is what I'd recommend. As far as the small group, we're still in one, but finding vulnerability in a small group is very hard to do. It doesn't happen often, and so what we've done is have a homemade program that we started about 30 years ago, where we meet together every morning and pray and do Bible study, and I think that's. I really recommend that. It's a hard thing to get started for a man, but it's been very effective for us.
Mm-hmm. So you and Jane meet in the morning for this?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you share this with a father, someone right now who's apparent. Why? What's so important for this time of study and prayer that you would convey to a young father today?
And together, I want to say, with husband and wife together, because that's the key ingredient that I think is missing in so many marriages. So go ahead, Jim.
Well, you know, we have cultural differences. Jane's from the South, I'm from the North, we just differ in so many, many ways. And when you get married and the honeymoon is over and after things have settled down a while and you find a lot of this out, and the work you did in courting and on the honeymoon and being interested in her every move and so forth begins to ebb. You need to know more about your gal. And I don't think you're going to pull that off driving down the freeway and talking to the windshield, which is really what we used to do. And so by having a formalized meeting and praying together, praying out loud, and also praying together out loud the Lord's Prayer, which you can use the forgive us our sins version of it, and put anybody in that position there, put a name in there, and then we do a Bible chapter and we take we each select a verse and try to do a personal application on that. Well, this kind of thing going on for 15 or 20 minutes day after day after day, you begin to know your partner better. And I think and there's an accountability factor in there we need as men and women. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, when they talk about the Bible, of knowing your wife through the sexual intercourse. You know, that's it talked about, knowing the wife. There's a lot more knowing to do besides that, and that's what we're accomplishing. And we're able to bring up these cultural differences now without there being a, you know, putting it aside, we can't talk about that. That's trouble. So it doesn't mean we solve everything immediately. In fact, it changes a man has to change his timing on this, because you can't be goal oriented and you can't be in a hurry to wrap something up. You just have to kind of get in tune with your wife on a lot of this stuff, and that's difficult to do, but I think valuable for me, so my personality. I'm really high on it.
Well, I definitely want to hear Jane's vantage point on this, James. Thank you for sharing that. When we come back from our break, yes, especially in a busy society in which we live, a lot going on. Someone might be thinking, how do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes a day, studying the Word, praying together day after day after day. How is that done? Well, we'll hear from Jane how they did it, and maybe get a mother's perspective on how that's done. We're talking about moments in life that really invest into the future. The scriptures talk about not moving the boundary stones, you know, those ancient boundary stones. There's a concept scripturally of the foundations that have been laid in times past. There are reasons for that. Stability, anchors in life that allow us to have certain boundaries that are necessary. We might not understand all the nuances of it, but there are reasons for it that have an impact that begin to trickle into our lives in the days to come. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there,
Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, James Beckett says, what's been the key in their marriage? What would he say to a parent today? What would he say to the father, the man of the house? He would say, hey, daily prayer time, daily Bible study, a good 15 minutes a day. It will make a difference in the relationship you have with your spouse. You might be saying, how in the world did they do that? How do you continue that year after year for decades? You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maher, my co-host, and James and Jane Beckett with us today. You can find out more about this program, get it in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Jane, what do you say? What would you say to someone who says, I'm too busy? Hey, this is the 21st century now. How are we to do that in this day and age?
Well, see, we waited until our children were grown to do this. So, because we're kind of old, you know, so. But we had issues, nothing major. But when he brought up this, let's get together for Bible study and prayer in the morning, I was kind of apprehensive. And then he walks in with a yellow pad and pencil, and I thought, I'm either going to get scored on my answers, or we've got an agenda here that I'm not in favor of. So. It didn't turn out that way, and he never brought the pad in again. And we just kind of played it by ear. I think we didn't start out at 15 minutes. We probably started at about more like 10 or less. But now it goes beyond 15 minutes. So I think it made it possible for us to share more easily with each other some of the way we feel about things, because we had the presence of the Holy Spirit while we're studying and in our conversation. So it's been a very positive thing in our lives. And Jim particularly notices it when we happen to miss a day, you know, or company comes. But now when our kids come to, you know, from out of town, they like to sit in on our morning prayers, and we love having them.
So,
Tell us about the ministry work you've been involved in.
Oh, well, it started with going to a federal prison, and that's kind of a long story that we just kind of fell into through our Sunday school class in San Pedro. There was a federal penitentiary within just a few miles of where we worshiped every Sunday, and yet we never dreamed that we'd ever go in there. But the opportunity came through Prison Fellowship and Chuck Colson. And so we went in. We took, there were about five or six couples that went. It's not for everybody, and we found that out in a hurry because only two us and one other couple continued to do it. We went in weekly. We made some wonderful friends. We looked at prisoners as brothers, not criminals. We're still in contact with three that are just outstanding young men who had terrible beginnings. And this was in California. We were unable to do much of it in Hawaii. And then we get to Texas, and circumstances or personalities or something, it just didn't seem to fit with us. And we got involved in we went into a program in a men's facility that was
Hope Literacy,
where they're trying to get these guys who had not even finished grammar school to learn to read better. And then we did that for several years, and then I think they kicked us out. They got a new warden or something, kicked us out. But right next door was a youth facility. So we thought, well, maybe we ought to go over there. And so we did, and we started with a group, and then that group kind of faded away, but we kept going, and we would tell the warden, we want a group of kids for, an hour or so, and give us ones that don't have any family that visits them. And that's how it started. And then one Sunday, it was open house for the parents, and we didn't know it. We got there, and there were all these cars, which is unusual. But the warden said, oh, no, y'all can go on in. You'll meet the families and everything. Well, that was the eye-opener. That's the thing that really changed our lives in another way we left, and I just said to Jim on the way home, how can these kids survive when they go home to such poor circumstances and they already got strikes against them? What can we do? And Jim said, well, anyway, it resolved it that we would start a small school so that we could take some of these kids that were good kids but just didn't have a chance with the families they went back to. And so Jim will take it from there, how that worked through the prison ministry.
Well, one of the things that we saw in the open house was that there were no men there. It was all aunties and grannies and mothers, but no dads. I think there was one dad out of 50 kids that were in the institution. So that's a problem in South Dallas, where 90% of the kids are fatherless. So we were trying to figure out a way to meet that need, and we had this school that we started in the South Dallas area. The pastor that helped us get started was a friend that I had met through a friend in prison ministry, and he said to us when Jane and I came, he said, I've been waiting 19 years for somebody to offer these services, and he said, I'm going to just work with you, and I'll turn my sanctuary over to you from Monday through Friday, and then just do without during those days. So we started with about 10 kids. We had all male teachers, and we we kind of stumbled along. It was a learning experience for everybody. I had a really good young fellow from Southwestern Seminary that was our lead teacher, and I taught, and Jane was the administrator, and we just had a real experience. That excuse me, that lasted 4 years. In the third or late third year, one of the during a vacation from the public schools, we had a visitor that came in, and she had been looking perhaps her whole adulthood for a school like this, and she said, I want to be here. And so we worked with her for the next year, and then she took over the school, and the school is still going. It's in its 11th year, and still pretty small, but it's been a kind of an incredible experience for us.
And Danny, I'd like our listeners to understand that Jim and Jane began this school with the leadership of Christ, of course, in their early 80s. So it's never too late. It's never too late.
Yeah.
Tell us.
It kept us young.
Yes.
Tell us some stories about the male influences through the school and the difference that it's made in the lives of these students.
Well, I could tell you the story of one young man and the way we both, the difference between men and women. he was 15, and he was kind of surly, but not impolite, but quiet, and an extremely poor reader. And he was, as I said, 15 years old. I kind of took a shine to him. He just something about him appealed to me that just made me want to kind of mother him a little bit. But he and Jim were antagonists, and in the yearbook, we put out a yearbook. We had a volunteer man come and offer. I mean, we had so many people come to offer to help us. And he had in his yearbook his favorite teacher was Jim Beckett. So we just knew it. We didn't know it until it was published, but we thought, wow. but he was, I don't say he became a Rhodes Scholar, but I'll tell you, he was able to get into a community college. He only went 1 year, but he was on the honor roll. And we've kept up with him. He's kind of elusive because he doesn't like accountability, but we don't let go. And and he's not in any trouble. He hasn't been in any trouble. He's a nice young man, and I don't think the story is over yet on when he's going to really turn his life. He prays at lunch. He will say a prayer when we're having lunch, but he doesn't go to church. But he knows he's got good grandmother who's at church every Sunday, and she's working on him. We're praying for him every day. So you don't let go of these people. You have to hang in there with them, and you got to give them time to make sure it's going to be real.
Talk about the grandmother. We go down to this Cornerstone Baptist Church about six times a year, and when we get there, these older ladies just fall all over Jane. They just love her to death, and so we're very fond of the pastor and. To me, the ladies that the grannies that come to Jane are it's a wonderful thing to see happen. It's the power of the risen Christ, really, because that relationship of the black and white is still we're still working on it in our hearts.
The Lord continues to work as you work, and the Lord as He lays on your heart. I'm touched. And I don't fully comprehend the breadth of it. I just can't. But I wonder what you've experienced in your lives and through the years that have enabled you to have this very distinct level of sensitivity care and compassion for people in your community. And I think there's a relation to your community with the global community. There's some deep-seated issues that we all deal with and we all see, and you're making a difference
even in this
season of your lives.
Yeah, well, I told you about the angel of the Lord, and I needed Jane's genes and chromosomes to rub off on me. Now our children have them in big doses, and they're wonderful kids, and I don't understand any of this. I just know that this happened, and I don't have that much compassion. I think I'm pretty darn self-centered still.
But you have hearts of love, Jim. You and Jane have wonderful hearts of love.
It's a rub off from Jane, and that's where this sharing together in the morning is. What are we, you know? One is not needling the other, but encouraging the other. What are we going to do about so and so, or what do you think is our next step? For example, where do you think God is going to take us next? One of the two people have to be of a mind, and it may not always be Jane, but it's important to have that I don't call it iron sharpening iron, but I call it a rub off that takes place in that time of worship, of prayer and Bible study. That has to be central. What do you think he wants us to do now? And you might just say, well, just take it easy for a while, but you have to keep asking that question.
Well, Jim and Jane Beckett, in our last segment, when we come back, we'll talk more with them. Of course, you can hear the passion just come out of their being as they speak. It's hard to imagine. Maybe for someone today, as you're listening, you're thinking, well, wait a minute, Danny. They sure don't sound like they're in their 90s. It just doesn't register that way. Well, it's true. They're getting ready to celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary. When we come back, more from Jane, maybe a scripture verse, maybe a prayer for you. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, here's a question. If you had life to live over again, what would you do differently? Does anything come up in your mind? Anything that you would do differently? Well, I'd like to ask that of Jim and Jane Beckett. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Before we get to that question, though, a few more questions from Suzanne.
Jim and Jane, we've talked about you're having five children. I'm curious, with this commitment you've made as a couple to be in the Word together, to pray together, Jim being the head of your household spiritually, how has that impacted your children?
Well, I think my oldest son, Jim, has given me a gift called The Second Half, I think by Bob Buford, and it talks about people that have come into a Christian relationship in the second half of their life, and that's certainly my case. Not that I screwed up that bad the first half, but I was certainly not aware of the breadth of the Christian life, and so all these things that happened, like the prison ministry came in 1985. That's 32 years ago. Getting our business happened like 40 years ago. So I was kind of a late bloomer. Now, so it's very complimentary for me to hear that from him. You're so different. I think that's what you really want to hear.
A positive way.
Yeah. You know, now my daughter, my oldest daughter, who's also a very solid Christian, she just acts like I've been great all along, and I just keep looking around for who that person is. But anyway, it's good to hear that from your kids.
Do you know if they're carrying it on with their marriages?
We know that Jim does. Judy is, I think you know a little bit of the story. Scott, her husband, was went to seminary and after they were married and had children, and was one of those situations where he was very charismatic. He had people calling him morning, noon, and night, and he kind of burned out.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't even, she said, no, I can't even talk to him about that at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he had a breakdown, and but he's fine now, and but he's very wary of religion. Mm-hmm. I know he's a Christian, but he's not going to talk about it. He's mm-hmm. not going to lay himself open. So we just respect that in him.
Jane, I appreciate it's such a subtle way, but I think ever so necessary in the body of Christ at large, the level of balance that you bring. I don't even know if you realize how it comes across, but someone can be feeling a certain way, or maybe even pressure in some way. Of course, we're striving to be sublime in a religious context or a spiritual context, but there's a certain balance that just in the honesty and the way you share. A favorite scripture that you have, Jane?
Oh, well, my really favorite one is Romans 12:1-2. Mm. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And I think, in a sense, I have been transformed in some ways. Not nearly enough, but the process is in.
And how about for you, Jim?
Well, I just was. This just hit me today as I was trying to, I was reading a little book called Praying the Bible, and one of the verses it talks about is in, I believe it's Isaiah 57, 18 and 19, where it made me realize how many screw-ups I've had since being married to Jane. And I came in and said, you know, I want to just kind of apologize. And she, just like her oldest daughter, she just doesn't remember anything. She does remember a certain dress she bought 21 years ago and the price she paid for it, but she doesn't remember any of that old stuff. And so that's encouraging. But the point of that, those verses, is that God is going to, at the end, he says, I will heal you. So with all the screw-ups that we have, all the forgetfulness and self-centeredness, he's still there for us, which is absolutely miraculous, that I think.
Jane, we've got about a minute left. Could you lead us in a prayer and pray for someone right now who's going through a difficult time?
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we have an opportunity to share our faith. I pray that those that are listening will glean something about the importance of being together in a family. And I just thank you, Lord, that you come into our lives every day, and so many times you've intervened and done it ahead of time, and we look back and say, wow, he really cares for us. He watches us all the time. Honey, you want to say anything?
Well, I'd like to pray for our daughter, Allison, who is not a believer, and that she'll feel the need for connecting with the living Lord and give up herself in the process and take on the new self, the new body, peel off the old and put on the new, and join up with some ladies her age that are so eager to have her be part of their fellowship. I pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jim, Jane, thank you for spending your very precious time with us today and sharing, as you have, heart to heart with us.
Well, thank you for thinking we were worthy.
Well, you have been a blessing. My friend, I hope that today you were encouraged by the insights, heart to heart sharing, as we typically do here, from James and Jane Beckett. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ and go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Psalm 92, verse 14, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Jim and Jane Beckett. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.